This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Here's Matt. Guns it. Caught. Hurst. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown Calvin Ridley. Grady Jarrett got another one. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hope you've got some Hey Man Ale ready for the World Series, whether it's the OG, the Blonde Ale, or the Watermelon Lime. Guys, get some at a local package store near you. Game one tonight. Mike and I will continue to talk about the World Series. Braves, Astros, Charlie Morton gets the ball for us tonight. We will go through the lineups and talk more about it coming up as part of our Strong Arm Story of the Day. Right now, though, we want to say good afternoon to Steve Weiss, who joins us, NFL Network, and does work for our Falcons as well as part of our Falcon Report. Steve, plain and simple, how impressed are you over the last few weeks with Kyle Pitts and his progression?
Very. I mean, look at him. I mean, he's, you know, I think the telltale was at the end of the Dolphins game. They've got one of the best DBs, Xavien Howard, on him, man-to-man. They've got safety help over the top, and he still makes that great sideline catch on a beautiful pass to Matt Ryan to set up the game-winning field goal. He's doing it over and over. They're now able to run the offense through him. Now, it's not going to happen every week, but the fact that he has stepped up the way he has, and guys, we talked about it last week, after that performance in London, is he going to say to himself, I can really ball with the big boy? Well, now it's 2 weeks in a row where he's got that self-confidence and that self-assuredness that he's the real deal, and the trust and everything the team is showing in him goes to prove that.
And big moments, too. I mean, it's one thing, Steve, you know, he's setting up game-winning drives. We saw that against the Jets. We saw it against the Giants. And now, again, it's three games. You can say it's Matt Ryan to Kyle Pitts. What's up with Ridley, by the way? And not about the personal issues, but I thought Carl and I said yesterday he had a tough day at the office, man. Took a really big hit, had that one ball that was taken out of his hands, but he did get in the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's been hot and cold this year. And, you know, this is one of those things where you're wondering, you know, is the big contract coming? Is that weighing on him? Is it, you know, I think about a play, I believe it was against Tampa, where he caught a ball on the sideline and needed a yard or two. And instead of, you know, being a football player sticking his head in there, he went out of bounds. And it's, right. You know, but at the same time, he'll make the spectacular catch. So I don't know if it's just him not, you know, being sure of himself, if he's seeing coverages he hasn't seen before because he is that number one wideout, just not sure. But, you know, I'm not ready to bail on him. I think, you know, we know the talent and the ability for him to be a true number one is there. It's just the consistency that, you know, we just haven't seen out of him, which I think comes as somewhat of a surprise since the opportunity has been there for him to shine.
Steve, are you surprised or maybe that's not even the right word again. How do you feel about Matt Ryan's play with the new coach and Arthur Smith? We all thought, you know, Arthur would come in offensive-minded and Matt would be better. The running game has probably been, you know, part of the question mark there. But Matt's overall play, I think, has been very good. How do you rate it?
It has been criminally very good, to use the word from Arthur Smith. Look at who he's working with. I mean, Matt Ryan came into the NFL in the lap of luxury. He had Roddy White. He had Algie Crumpler. He had Joe Horn. Then he had Tony Gonzalez and Julio Jones. Right? He's always had a lot of options. And now he's had to take a step back in that regard when it comes to that. And he is playing, it's kind of the catchphrase you're hearing from NFL coaches and stuff. Cleaner football. Mm. I mean, he's had to learn a new offensive line and trust those guys, which seems like he's doing better. He's got the unicorn now. I'm not talking about Kyle Pitts. I'm talking about Cordero Patterson.
Right.
You know, and he's had to adjust to a different type of player than he's had before, and he seems to be having a ball and playing well doing it. And, you know, I'm glad Arthur Smith came out and said people need to recognize what he's doing, because he is playing at a very, very high level with probably the fewest top-shelf options, but probably some of the most creative play structure and play design he's had since that MVP season.
It is Steve Weiss with us, guys, from NFL Network, also now working with the Atlanta Falcons. And, yeah, that's the thing, man. I know we've said it to you a few times, Steve. Carl and I were literally like, oh, my God, Mike Davis and Cordero Patterson. We've got the two guys you don't want in fantasy football. And Patterson has just been unbelievable. In this case, though, it was the running game. The high knees. He just seems like, you know, two pinwheels. You can't tackle as he goes into the end zone.
He plays a million miles an hour. Isn't it fun every time you see him, like, get a handoff? He is already at top speed 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Or when he catches the screen pass or something up the middle, he is, you know, I was talking to someone in the building. They're saying, you know, you've got Jake Matthews, who's kind of showing Jalen Mayfield the ropes. You've got Lee Smith, who's really, you know, him and Hayden Hurst are really helping out Kyle Pitts. I think Cordero Patterson's helping out the whole team, because he's just like this breath of fresh air every time he comes in the building to everybody in the building. But then he plays at such a joyous level on the practice field. Like, guys, we're playing football for a living. Let's understand that. You know, I'm here on a one-year, $3 million deal, and I'm having more fun than all you guys. So follow me. And they're saying that he's, you know, he's really leading the way to, like, a lot of people. Like, yeah, you know, let's appreciate the fact, you know, that we're getting to play football for a living, and that he's really kind of injected that into a team that had a lot of question marks and is really kind of figuring out its identity.
Steve Weiss, our guest, guys. Make sure you follow him on social media, NFL Network. Is this Deshaun Watson trade going to happen? Do you think this is really going to happen?
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I mean, the people I'm talking with and hearing from, they think somebody's going to do it. Who it's going to be, I don't know. Is it Miami? Is it Carolina? Is it Philly? Is it a sleeper team? You know, he's got a no trade clause, but if he vetoes it, then, like, you know, what signal are you saying? Do you want to be there and just not get paid, or do you want out like you say you do? It's a lot, man, especially when you're looking at a team like Miami that's, you know, if they give up all of this compensation for him, you don't even know if the guys doing it, Chris Greer and Ryan Flores, are going to be there to see this through when he arrives. You know, if they keep losing ball games, and I'm sorry, down in Miami, I don't care if it's Tua. I don't care if it's Deshaun. That whoever's playing quarterback isn't changing what's going on down there. They got issues. You know, Tua, I thought, was fine. He had the bad interception late in the game, but he drove the Dolphins down to give them the lead, that which they should have held on to against Atlanta. And then the defense just gives up the big play to Pitts and just can't hold, and, you know, Atlanta scores. They've got issues going on down there. So,
right.
You know, if it's them to make that trade, it's just real interesting to me, because, you know, I just, you know, from some stuff you're hearing and conversations I've had with folks, you just don't know if Flores and Chris Greer will even be there next year if they make the move for Deshaun.
And Steve, I know I looked for it. I didn't see anything from Roger Goodell. I know the owners are meeting the first time everybody's kind of face to face in, like, forever. But he's not going to slap the commissioner's exempt list on Deshaun Watson, right? I mean, he will get to play if he does get traded.
Yeah, he can play right now. I mean, that's the thing. You know, any stuff about any type of discipline coming from the league will happen after all these court hearings, which is entering the 2022 season. That's not going to happen until after this year. The Houston Texans could have him on the field right now. They have just come to an agreement on both sides. We're cool not playing and taking your money, and the Texans are like, fine, we're cool not having you around and paying you our money. But he is eligible to play right now. He could step on the field tomorrow and practice with the Houston Texans. Or if he gets traded, he could step on the field and practice and play right away.
Wow. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, talking football with Steve Weiss here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons' next opponent, Carolina. Are they a mess now with this Sam Darnold thing?
That would be an affirmative.
All righty.
They need to figure some things out, because, you know, look, Sam Darnold gets benched. They've already come out and said, hey, we're going to start him again. But he's not playing well. And it's just weird to see how he – you know, this wasn't a slow drop-off. He fell completely off the shelf.
Right.
And you're wondering what happened there. Is it the absence of Christian McCaffrey? Is it teams are playing them differently and he hasn't adjusted? You know, the one thing we heard about the Panthers last year was they did not practice a ton of situational football, right? Not a ton of four-minute, not a ton of two-minute, and it caught up to them late in games. Well, that's not the case anymore. You know, they learned from that. And they're, you know, you just don't know. But quarterback like play clearly is an issue, and that's why you're hearing them linked so much to the Deshaun Watson trade talks as well.
Man, just nuts. And then the Jets, they got injuries they're dealing with. Bad time, by the way, for – I mean, the NFL is based on stars, Steve. We were just talking about this. We got a monster showcase game with two of the best teams in the NFL, and you got some of the best players not in it. Devontae Adams, now I guess there's more players on the Packers. I just saw Alan Lazard is out on the COVID list.
Yeah.
Close contact with Devontae Adams. What a buzzkill for that game.
Yeah, and Lazard's not vaccinated, so he's out at least 5 days. So well, you can say it's a buzzkill for that game, but you still got Aaron Rodgers. You know, we have seen some great games this year where there's been less star power on the field. I mean, you still got DeAndre Hopkins and, you know, and Kyler Murray is a special player. He is a special player. And, you know, look, there are players, yeah, you don't have Devontae Adams, but you still have Aaron Jones. And remember, the Packers are 6-0 since 2019 when Devontae Adams isn't in the lineup. They're undefeated. They guys step up, and it's typically Aaron Jones. His numbers in those six games are absolutely through the charts. So it's not like this is going to be that absolute barn burner we had Monday night with Seattle and the Saints. Yeah. This is going to be, and I'm being sarcastic, fellas.
Of course.
Yeah, that was like Sabanex, brother. You ain't lying.
Of course.
Yeah, this is going to have a little bit more juice than that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, man, we always appreciate you coming on, Steve, and chopping it up with this man. And, you know, you're doing a great job with your Falcon stuff that you've added on to all the other responsibilities that you've got going on, man. We appreciate you stopping by every week. Thanks again.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
Hey, man. No doubt. That's Steve Wickedy Wickedy Weiss. So, yeah, man, again, that game, Steve, that's a great factoid for me because I've got that running back. So that's good news for my fantasy team, Carl. But, yeah, man, it's just there's just a lot of, you know, big names. And when you watch a game like that Saints, you said it, and Steve was joking around about it. It was just, I mean, unless you are a hardcore football fan, it's just tough to watch.
Yeah, it really was. Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys. Don't forget, with all the things going on, make it a Domino's party and maybe score yourself some free stuff. $50 million in frees when you go to Domino's.com to put your order in. A 1 in 14 chance to win, so do it tonight with Domino's.
Yeah, I hope Falcon fans heard Steve, and you know, he's right. That's why I asked the question about Matt Ryan. Matt's playing great. We've not made some plays. Defense has had some issues. It's not a quarterback thing, okay? Cordell Patterson has been a pleasant surprise. If we can get Pitts going, Mike, and Calvin can come on, all of a sudden now you might have something offensively as the line continues to get better. To me, that's really the storyline as we move forward. What happens between now and 5 more weeks and how much better this O-line is going to be for Matt Ryan?
Hey, and we've talked about this, guys. If you go back and you look at it, yeah, I know you said you wanted it now. But now you're seeing this guy every single game. And if the Dolphins are dumb enough to go single coverage on an athlete like Kyle Pitts, well, we'll take that right down the field, exactly what they did. And I know that for Matt Ryan haters out there, and again, like I've been super critical of Matt when he doesn't bring home the bacon like that Eagles game. But, brother, he is playing the best football of his, you could argue, Carl, of his career since Shanahan.
Yeah, I would agree. Just what he say, clean football, which is what we want. What is Charlie Morton's approach to tonight? You're going to hear it coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is Tiki.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Oh, it's going down tonight in Houston, games 1 and 2, before heading back to Atlanta for games 3, 4, and 5 this weekend. And tonight, Mike, it's Charlie Morton. Now, Morton, so far this season, playoffs, 3.77 ERA, 19 strikeouts, 14 and a third innings pitched in 3 starts. Here's the thing. This is the third time in 5 years Charlie Morton has pitched in the Fall Classic. So he knows what this moment's about. He understands it. And I wouldn't want to hand the ball to anybody else. We know Freed's going to start in game 2, and then we'll see what happens game 3 and beyond. But, Mike, I think Joe Patrick said it best. This is really about what our pitching is going to be able to do against their bats. This lineup, guys, is better than the Dodgers. And that may be hard to fathom because we've seen the Dodgers the last couple of years. But Buster only said it this afternoon. Joe came on and said it as well. I think that's something we've got to realize. This is a deeper and, I think, more talented lineup than the Dodgers.
Right. And you're just like, you know, you look at our lineup, if you hadn't been watching the Braves, you're like, holy cow, Dansby's in the eight hole and he's got like that many home runs. I mean, we're both stacked, right? We both got guys who can do their jobs. Is Darnold going to continue to, you know, struggle and scuffle? Is Dansby going to be able to step up? I mean, you look at our lineup, you look at their lineup. I mentioned earlier we were talking with Joe Patrick, Kyle Tucker, the right fielder. Dude hits a lot of home runs. He's had some big clutch moments. So that's a guy to watch out for. Obviously, we get the advantage of the designated hitter. We talked about that. Some guys don't like the idea. Like, you know, you remember how you and I were kind of lamenting that game four lineup with Rosario batting fifth and Dansby leading off? Well, Rosario's going to bat fifth again, and you're going to see Jorge Soler leading off. But the reasoning behind it, for guys who aren't following, is you're kind of flipping things over with the right-handed batter against that left-handed pitcher, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. So I like this lineup because, first, if Soler continues to do what he did, you know, you've got to go back. Now, obviously, he was taken out of last series with COVID, but if you go back to the end of the regular season where he was just basically on fire, on base, getting on base, the final 11 of games of the season, he was really the guy. And then, you know, you found, okay, we're going to do Rosario to lead off, and it kind of changed things up. If Soler's able to get on, Mike, and then, you know, Freddie doing Freddie, Ozzie, you put some ducks on the pond for Eddie Rosario again. And I'm not saying this is all on Eddie. I thought Joe Patrick brought up another great point, which was, guys, last series is last series, and as much as I want to see Eddie continue to stay hot, it may be somebody else. It may be Freddie this series. It may be Austin Riley. That's the beauty of our lineup and has been all season long. We needed somebody to pick us up really big. He did that in the NLCS, but in the World Series, Mike, it could be completely different. And Jock, you know, he cooled off a little bit, but maybe Jock heats back up. So I think we're going to be able to score runs on these guys. It's just holding them down. That's my concern.
Right. So what are we going to see, man? Matzik and Mitchell, what would lead you to believe that anything would change with those guys, right? Because those guys have been so money. But if you heard, we spoke with Joe Patrick earlier, and Buster Olney said the same thing. You know, how about, you know, can Charlie Morton go six innings? I mean, why do we have to cap it at like just two rounds of at-bats, right? Can we get maybe, just maybe, six innings out of Charlie Morton? That would be huge, especially, Carl, because later on we will go to that bullpen start in game four after Anderson does his thing.
Yeah, let's hear from Charlie Morton about his approach to tonight's game.
I played against enough really good, talented postseason teams to know that. You know, just looking over the other dugout against some of the teams that I've seen in the postseason, just phenomenally talented and guaranteed good groups, you know, good guys, but it's so hard to get to this point. That's my focus. Like, I'm pitching against a really good baseball team, and these are really important games, they're really important starts. So that's my mentality.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally one hitter at a time. You just take it for what it is. But as I said, he's been in this moment. I don't think the butterflies are going to be going crazy for him because of his experience. Now, Freddie talked about the revamped outfield. And again, tonight, because of the DH, and I think for these first two games specifically, but if we got to go back to Houston, it may look similar. But Soler being the DH tonight, you know, our outfield technically, you look at how we got here, was Duvall, Peterson, and Rosario. So you can stay there without having Soler in the outfield because he's not as good of a defensive player as those other guys. This is what Freddie said about it.
Eddie, when he came over, he was hurt, so we didn't get to see him for like a month. And then Jorge came over, and, you know, we were just trying to figure out how all this worked. Jock was there, and then all of a sudden Jock wasn't playing every day. We were just trying to figure out how this all these pieces fit in our team. And next thing you know, about a month in, the pieces started fitting, and we started rolling as a group. But to have a whole new outfield than you did in April, than you did in July, end of July, it's hard to do. And what Alex did in the front office when we had dealt with what we dealt with this year, it's pretty amazing that we tried to cover four guys to pick up Ronald's performance, and I think we were able to accomplish that.
Yeah, man, it really was Moneyball. You know, we joked around about how they had to replace, what was it, Jason Giambi, right? Or, you know, back in the – not Jason. Yeah. It was Giambi. And yeah. they had to go find all that way to – it's been an amazing story. We spoke with Alex Anthopoulos. If you missed the conversation yesterday, we're going to have that for you. It's kind of like our little pregame coming up in the six. Also, what's really cool is we – a lot of love for Brian Snitker. You see that in the press conference today, Carl, they had Snitker and his son Troy, who's the Astros co-hitting coach, up on the podium at the same time.
Yeah, it's one of the cool stories. Someone had sent that to me, I guess, a week and a half maybe or so ago, and I didn't want to, you know, get there because I wanted to win that series before right. we started talking about this. But it is one of the cool stories that your dad waited his turn, got a chance to be a manager, and now has his team in the World Series, and the team that you work for is in the World Series. I don't know how it doesn't get any more special than that, Mike. So it's a really cool thing. The unfortunate part is somebody's got to lose. So, right. you know, whether it's your son and dad, you guys know this. I mean, you don't want to lose in anything to your kids, you know, if you're trying to teach them how to compete. But at some point, this is a pretty cool moment for that family, and I'm happy for Brian Snitker and his son. But, yeah, somebody's got to take the L, Mike, and when they get back together at the family reunion or whenever they see each other next time, it will always be either dad beat you or right. or we beat you, you know, so.
Hey, a couple of guys hitting us up saying, are you worried about Jorge Soler because he has been struggling? Remember, he was doing pretty well. Then the COVID thing. And, again, if you average it all out for the entire postseason, Jorge Soler is batting 154. So it is, what, two hits for 13 at-bats. I mean, he's going on a heater. I'm just like, in any years past, and well, actually, remember we complained about this before game four, and obviously Snitker looked like a stinking genius. So I guess we'll just roll with it, but some guys are questioning Soler leading off.
1-for-11 with two walks in the NLDS. That's why people are concerned. Then he went away. Does he come back and have an eye for the ball like he did prior to taking this hiatus for COVID-19? I understand, and I'm with some of the guys that are hitting us up on the text line at 404-741-0929. I'm not going to dismiss it because I would prefer him to be in a rhythm like Rosario is right now and just, hey, I don't care what they throw at me. I'm just in a zone. But maybe Soler works his way back to that. But that's what he did in the NLCS, NLDS, should I say, 1-for-11. That's he's not hot, Mike. He's not coming in red hot.
Jacob Webb got sent down. They brought back who's it? We just talked about earlier. The
Camargo,
the base running specialist. Yeah, Camargo goes down, and Kyle Wright came up. Gore is in there again. That's the guy who's kind of stuck around the minors, but he was with the Royals a couple years ago, and he's like, you know, that's the idea. You get somebody on first or second, you can throw him in there as a pinch runner. So not many basically changes to the lineup. All right, let me just ask this, and I'll get this out of the way now. What on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, what is your level of confidence in Luke Jackson?
6. It's a 6.
Yeah, I was going to say 5 or 6. Right?
Yeah, it might be it might be a 5.5. Here's the thing. Brian Snitker's got to run Luke out there. Now you're going to go, why? Hey, we got other choices. If you don't do it at the beginning of this series, for example, tonight, I don't know how tonight plays out. I don't know how tomorrow plays out. But if you don't, then you better not pitch him the rest of the series. And guess what? That's not how this works. You have selected these guys to go win this series. That's why you can change up the roster for every round. If you feel like Luke Jackson is one of those guys, then you've got to use him. Now, Mike, if we get to a point in game 3 or 4 after using him in game 1 and 2 where he's been shaky, right, maybe you shift his role a little bit. But I don't think you're not going to see Luke Jackson, guys.
Well, again, as we said, and everybody's pulling for the guy. I thought his interview he did after they clinched, they were popping the champagne. Like, he gets it. He knows what's being said. He's a likable guy in that sense. But 9 is the ERA, 5 innings pitched, 10 hits, 4 walks.
So
5 earned runs.
And here's the problem we're going to run into. There will be more than one high leverage situation.
Yes.
Every night.
Yeah.
Every night.
And it's a hitter's park.
That Mike, even if he's got to face the mandatory three batters, right, there's going to be some high leverage moments that Luke's going to be in. He's got to find a way to get out. Do you trust Matzik? Yes. Do you trust Minter? Yes.
Yes.
That's where we're at. Hey, man, plenty more to get to. More on the Braves. Brian Snitker talking about being here. I said this earlier today. I went on a bunch of different shows today talking about our Braves. Nobody thinks we're going to get this done.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Oh, we do it every day, guys, and now it's a little bit more special because we're playing for all the marbles. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for joining us. Game one tonight. And, you know, it's funny because I was telling Mike this earlier in the show. I went on a few different shows today there in Houston, and they were talking about, you know, obviously the Astros, their wins. We put out, you know, a 90-win Brewers team and a 106-win Dodger team.
Right.
And so, you know, the thing is that the Astros have kind of been here, right? This is where they've lived for the last few years. Three of the last five, they've been playing for the World Series. So that's kind of the mindset. And then, you know, the Astros thought they would be playing either the Dodgers or the Brewers. And so it didn't play out that way. I'm not saying they're disrespecting us. I'm just saying if you hear that crap and you hear the tone and the tenor of what's being said, if you thought it was bad with the Dodgers, I think you're going to hear that with the Astros, Mike, because there's a sentiment out there about that. Now, what's it mean for us? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and I know that you and I, we've gone round and round about who's got more pressure on them. I mean, look, now that we're here, we don't want to just go, well, yippee-ki-yay, let's hang that pennant. No, we want to win the whole thing. We want to, you know. And there's a great article. It's, but you guys have probably checked it out already. Carl and I retweeted it at Mike Bell, ATL, and put him up, C-Dukes. But it's Jock Peterson in the Players Tribune, the website the players, you know, all athletes have set up so they can do things in their own words. And it's a fascinating read from Jock about first being with the Cubs, and then, oh, crap, I'm getting traded, and then, oh, I'm going to trade to the Braves. I may get traded again. Because, you know, they didn't look like they're doing anything. And I just love the story about him. He's playing cards with the pitchers and the way things work with the Braves. Pitchers go on one bus and the position players go on the other bus. And he's basically on the pitcher bus. And like, what are you doing here? He's like, hey, man, because you're the mother blankers who are going to win us a World Series. So just a guy with a lot of confidence and a loose vibe. And it's, you know, it's just great to have that in your clubhouse. And so he goes on to talk about that. And you can read it. It's a pretty fun read. But just the energy and the vibe. And then he talks about every going blonde one day because he was talking about it with a former Cubs teammate, the pearl necklace, the whole shebang. So we're loose, right? Do you feel, Carl, do you feel there's pressure on the Astros to validate what some people feel is a tainted championship?
I do. I really do. And remember, they got accused, okay, fair or unfair.
Right.
And I'm trying to stay out of that lane because I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I do think things have changed and MLB has cracked down and there's a lot of things that have happened. But they got accused in their first series with the White Sox, you know, that something fishy was going on. And you heard Dusty Baker say, you know, those are heavy allegations.
Right.
But nothing was proven. I think, as you said, Mike, La Russa was trying to play mind games. It didn't work. And, you know, they end up losing. I don't see Brian Snicker doing that. That's just not his flavor. That's not what Brian's going to do. So, you know, if we lose, we're going to lose because we didn't play well or they beat us, and that's fine. But I don't think you're going to see any of that nonsense involved in a World Series. Snicker's waited way too long to get here to have that kind of, you know, distraction about what's going on over there. They got a good club. We got a good club. Now let's go see who wins it. But, Mike, yes, I do think the pressure's on them. Because here's the deal, guys. When we beat them, okay, because I think we can beat them, and I think we will. then they're going to say, well, the Astros can't win it unless they're cheating.
Exactly. So it's just, it's another layer. And I remember the core group of guys are still there, right? You got, what, Correa and obviously Altuve. There's a little bunch of dudes that were there
it's
for
about
that.
Five or seven, Bregman, maybe right. seven guys, yeah. Right. The core group, absolutely.
So, I mean, it's just something. And, again, if it wasn't the Braves and Brian Snitker, I would be totally rooting for Dusty. Because, again, you knew him. And I just got a kick because he was one of my favorite players. When the Dodgers played the Mets, got his autograph. But, you know, what he had to go deal with as a manager of a team which has everybody in the world hating their guts, right? And how he comes in. And you know, Dusty is a smart guy. And it's funny. He goes, look, man, he goes, I'm not new school, not old school. I'm going smart school, talking about, you know, how baseball is being played today, the analytics and stuff. So he says there's a place for it. But, again, there is a perception, though, that Dusty and Snit are not the analytical guys the way the Tampa Bay Rays are or the Giants or even what the Dodgers kind of overdid, you could argue, in the NLCS.
Yeah, I agree, man. And the thing is, I think you heard, if you listened earlier, Buster Olney talk about this, that we have obviously two very likable managers. Snit in his own, you know, personable, kind way, just the way he goes about his business. And then Dusty is a legend, man. I mean, to be quite honest, and I agree with Buster that he should already be in the Hall of Fame. But, Mike, when you sit and talk to both of these guys, there's a likability factor. And I think that's the part that if you're a baseball guy, you go, man, as I said earlier, I want to see both of them win. It's just not going to happen.
So, again, guys, it's pretty much the exact same lineups. Dylan Lee, by the way, the kid from the minors is still here, hard-throwing player. So Dylan Lee is on this roster. But for the most part, the only change is Jacob Webb went back out, as did Camargo. And we brought in Gore, the guy that's kind of like, you know, hopefully we can steal a base or two. That's Terrence Gore back from Gwinnett. So that's it. Otherwise, the roster is exactly the same. You and I talked earlier about Drew Smyly. Do you trust him? We may have to. I mean, and that's good or bad. Maybe he can step up to the plate, but do you think they're looking to lean on Drew Smyly in the bullpen start, which will be game four.
I do. Mike, we got some confidence from him, right? I mean, remember we came in the next
day. He held the line. Right?
There you go. And so we were like, all right, we can trust him. We can use him. How far can he go? Well, it depends on if you do what you did last time. And I'm not saying Jesse Chavez is going to be the guy, but if you throw somebody out there and say, hey, give us two, we're going to hand it to Smyly, and he's going to be the bridge between that and Mentor or Tyler Matzek to close this game, I trust him. I think that you have to after the way that he performed. And you know, we forget this dude is an $11 million pitcher.
Right.
I mean, it's not like he's a cheapskate guy that we just threw out there and it's bonus. He should be pitching like this, Mike. The problem is, he just hadn't been consistent through the season, and we, as in the Braves, lost confidence in him.
Period. A couple guys hitting us up on the text line. You can always do that. All Twitter, Mr. G says, he's that War Eagle fan, so he's an Auburn guy. He says, hey, Carl, since they're throwing the lefty, Soler in the one hole is a good call. Says Eddie will still have shots to take, batting fifth, talking about Eddie Rosario. Yeah. But he has what you and I said earlier. Says, I still think we need Dansby and Darno to step it up big time, and he's right.
Yes, he is, because we may run into a situation where Rosario or Duvall may be on. They may have found a way to get on base. We still, you can't just not pitch to Darno, even though, you know, the Astros are probably licking their lips going, he's not hitting. And you know, Jock Peterson, I'd rather pitch to Darno than Jock Peterson. And then you look at Dansby. With no pitcher in the lineup, meaning, you know, he's not obligated to hit because of the DH, you got to take advantage of that. We literally just added another power bat with Soler in there. We got to take advantage of that. So the Astros are used to this. We have to take advantage of it tonight, Mike, and the game two as well.
Right. So again, guys, you love the idea of the DH if Soler can do his job. We just did the numbers. Obviously, you know, he was not that hot against the Brewers, and then they had the COVID break. So how does he regroup? If you're looking for any kind of, you know, I don't know, a tell, and I know it's only batting practice, but a lot was made of him hitting a ball about 470 feet in Minute Maid Park. You know, if you've ever been there, they have a little railroad track, right, where the train goes, right?
Yeah.
And left. So it goes over there in left center. So I hit like a moonshot. So a lot of folks were around the cage kind of went, ooh, when that happened last night.
Yeah, it's a fun park. Short porch to left.
Mm-hmm. Those funky angles.
Yeah.
Remember when they used to have the hill up there in center? Obviously, they've done away with that. But, yeah, it's a hitter's park for sure.
Yeah, Towels Hill is what it was called. It was a throwback to some of the Tal Smith was the longtime president of the Astros, and it was a throwback to the old ballparks that used to have the quirky hills and angles like that. And then somebody got hurt. I forget who it was, Mike, trying to track down a fly ball. Let's hear from Buster Olney earlier in the show, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. We're going to hear from our general manager as well, Alex Anthopoulos, as we get ready for game one tonight, talking about this season. And he had a chance to talk with us yesterday. It was so good, so informative. We're going to play it again for you. But Buster said this about both managers.
Well, personally, I think Dusty Baker should already be a Hall of Famer. You know, when you have a playing career where you have almost 2,000 hits, when you're in the postseason constantly, when every other manager who's won as many games as Dusty has already been in the Hall of Fame, he should already be that guy. But I do think that getting into the Hall of Fame and potentially winning it, getting into the World Series and potentially winning it, I think will solidify it for Dusty. And for Snit, I think it's an opportunity for him to be recognized on the national stage, right? Like, I've been around for baseball for my whole career, so I know him, respect him, have so much appreciation for him. I think he's a big reason why the Braves is the best clubhouse culture in baseball. But to see him on the, national stage, I think people are going to understand, what a good person he is. I'll tell you guys the story I probably have told you before, but my favorite story that says so much about him and his personality, I remember asking him a few years ago as they were going into an off day. I'm like, "Hey, Snit, what do you like to do when you have a day like that?" And it's baseball, so you're thinking fishing, you're thinking hunting, you're thinking, whatever. And his answer was, "I like to get a cup of coffee and then walk around Costco, just to see what the merchandise is, and to go up and down the aisles and."
That's awesome. It is. I mean, just is that what you would have expected?
He's just, like I said, he's just a lovable older dude, man. That's why, I really do hope we can get it done, because it would be an amazing story. As we said, we gave him all the credit after, there's been moments over the years we've been kind of down on some of the decisions, but you can't argue with anything since the All-Star break. Hey, Schultzy writing down there in Houston that the Braves, if you haven't seen the picture already, they brought Ronald Acuna, Mike Soroka, and Stephen Vogt on the trip. Said Brian Snicker wanted them to experience the whole World Series.
Awesome. I mean, I feel for Acuna. I wish he could be out there, but maybe this makes him hungrier, Mike, as his career moves forward,
right,
to get back and be a part of one of these as, a guy that's not injured. Vogt played his role, guys.
Yeah, had a couple of big hits.
I love it. I love Snit saying, hey, we're family. These guys have helped us. Coming up, top three at 6. You'll hear Alex Anthopoulos coming up at 6:20. Plenty more to dive into. It's Dukes and Bell.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.